This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone in your family has been injured at work, visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.
Look, we've had some disappointing news out of the UK when it comes to takeaway. They've had some issues with supply lines after Brexit and with the double whammy of COVID as well. We brought you the story of Nando's running out of peri peri chicken over in the UK that caused 45 stores to temporarily close, which wasn't good. We were feeling very lucky that our Nando's, I don't know if they're still doing, I hope they're still doing takeaway and you can get the old delivery happening. But Ned, a store that I know is open because I've seen it is McDonald's. And over in the UK at the moment, they are having huge supply chain issues to the point where McDonald's UK have had to come out and go, look, we don't have what we need to make milkshakes. We're not going to be making any more milkshakes, milkshake stick shakes, all of it not happening. Sorry, guys, supply line issues, no milkshake stick shakes.
Do they say, are they saying what they're running out of? Because, like, honestly, if we're calling a spade and putting the most important foot forward, take some of them. If it's milk, scrap some of the milk from McCafe and put it back into the supply line. Because I don't think it's as popular as getting milkshakes and thick shakes through the drive through or through anything, really.
It has brought my attention to two things here, Ned. And one is be grateful for what you do have. I mean, we are going through a bit of a tough time here in the ACT.
That's a very good message in general.
But just be grateful for what you do have because we still have thick shake access. Unless, of course, the machine's being cleaned. And that's when you don't get your soft serves, your milkshakes, all that sort of stuff anymore. And that does happen with an alarming regularity. But I will say this to you. Is there anything that you... Because for me, when I'm really craving like a McFlurry and the ice cream machine's down, I have been known to chuck a hanger tantrum, a little bit of a hangry tantrum, and just go, don't worry about it then. And just sit in the drive-thru.
Just completely cancel your order.
Cancel everything I was planning to get and just go, don't worry about it then. Because the whole thing for me, the fantasy part of the meal, was the linchpin was the McFlurry. Yeah. So if you're not going to give me that, I don't want the quarter pound. Don't worry about any of it. I have had the exact same thing at Hungry Jack's when they used to do the chicken chippies. I have, by the way, if anyone from Hungry Jack's is listening to this, I have no idea why you guys ever stopped the chicken chippies. The chicken fries is what they were called. They were the absolute bee's knees. I was fully going to Hungry Jack's two or three times a week just to get the chicken fries. And when they're like, oh, we don't have the chicken fries anymore, I was like, well, then you don't have me as a customer anymore until I find something else I enjoy, which, by the way, was the Yumbo, which they now don't have either. The point here is, Ned, do you have an item? And listening right now, if you can think about it, you might have your own, where if you are just thinking about this one thing, you get to the drive-thru and they go, oh, we don't have that right now. Have you ever just gone, don't worry about it then? Is that I've done, or have you done that as well?
You've given me such a big, grandiose building. You've given two examples of... you've given an example of two different restaurants, two items at a specific restaurant. I have none of these things.
Never done.
I'm an adaptable eater. I will eat a bread roll. If I went to KFC and they said, sorry, we've got nothing but the dinner rolls, I'd say, well, give me 15 of those and I'll have that.
They are nice dinner rolls, though. KFC, by the way, you're not getting away scot-free from this. If you guys run out of popcorn chicken, you're running out of me as well. I'm gone. I'm done.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
We are in lockdown at the moment. You are in your apartment. And I got to tell you, this is potentially going to go for a little bit. Case numbers yesterday, a little bit higher than we're likely to see. But I do enjoy seeing the chief health officer always remind us that this is all, because this is kind of now people in the homes that are quarantining. Their relatives are obviously still in the home with them. So the numbers are going to go up. Yeah. It's Delta. It's all. But this is it. Yeah, we're going to just wait and see for a little bit longer here.
It's always reassuring to hear from a medical professional that this hasn't been blown out of the water yet. Nothing has happened that's not completely unexpected.
It's on the trajectory we're expecting. But that probably means this lockdown thing where we're doing this for a while. Canberra's being so very, very good about it. But it's got me thinking. And I've picked some weird crusade to go on here because I found...
Not often does the leader of a... Like William Wallace was never like...
It's a weird crusade.
You will never take our lives. And I understand this is all pretty weird, but you will never take our freedom.
No, look, me, I'm happy to say this. It's a bit of a weird one to have noticed. But you are a big fan of it. Everybody else I've told this to, they were like, this makes a lot of sense. Like, why wouldn't they just do this? And it is, of course, if you've been listening to the show regularly...
that shopping centres that have a button that requires you to get a parking ticket do not have your boom gate, have your boom gates permanently open at the moment so that people can sort of park for free, because the only people that should be spending longer than the 2 hour free parking in your shopping centre car park anyway are essential retail workers, and don't be making money off them at the moment. They've got stuff hard enough. So this has been my whole crusade. Now, the local one that is close to me, I'm not going to name them, but I...
Because you're not talking about Civic.
No.
If you're in there for 2 seconds, you need to pay $30.
Well, and that's like, because there's offices everywhere. It's a different setup. I'm talking about a suburban one that has a boom gate, and it's close to where I live. And I, before I ever mentioned this on air, sent like a really... I never do this, but I sent like a really friendly Facebook message to the business page. And I was like, hey, I just sort of noticed while pushing the button to get my ticket... That's kind of not a great idea. Maybe we should let the boom gates be open and then we don't all have to touch the same button. Because if we're checking in at every store we go into, but we're all touching the same touch point before we even go into a store, seems kind of weird to me. That logic seems kind of weird. Yesterday...
Now, I didn't see the by the way, listeners at home, I never saw this letter, so I can't confirm whether or not it was that polite.
It was friendly.
It was friendly. But I do know that a letter got sent. And I do know that there was contact that was made.
It was friendly, and here's the worst part of this, as the plot thickens. Yeah. It was replied to. They said, we've passed this. They said, thanks for the feedback. We've passed this on to the relevant people. Have a great day. And I went, job done. Next time I go there, of course this is going to be implemented because it's such a great idea. So 2 days ago, I told you, well, yesterday on the show, I gave you the update that the day before, I went to that particular establishment and they had the out boom gates up permanently while still having the in boom gates shut. So
essentially meaning there's no reason for you to get a ticket at all.
There's now actually no need for you to get a ticket because you can just go out. And I was like,
it doesn't,
hang on, this now even makes less sense and it feels very, very much pointed at me. And yesterday, Ned, I have an update because the plot has once again thickened.
God damn, this is double thick cream now.
As I went to the store, this particular establishment yesterday, I've never seen this in my life. As I came through the boom gate, there was a guy there refilling the ticket machine. So he was putting more tickets in, showing a wanton disregard for any suggestions I'm making. They're like,
couldn't have done it in front of a worse person.
Not only are we not going to take this boomgate suggestion, we're going to make sure it is stocked up so that we can have as many tickets in there as possible. And I thought to myself, you know what? Do they know what time I go to the shops? Because this feels like they've done this for me. They've wanted me to see this so they can passively aggressive send me the message of, we're not listening to you. We don't care. We're not listening to you at all.
Not only we're not listening to you, we're flagrantly disregarding any kind of qualm you might have.
The stack was bigger than my torso of tickets that they were putting into this machine. It's going to be stocked for days. They are...
Here is my...
Okay, yeah, go.
I need to call because this is it. Enough of this lunacy. I need to know something. And I need to know that you've not gone insane because, honestly, I wouldn't put it past you and you wouldn't be blamed at the moment. Is there a reason they could give you... Let's say, we need a head count for how many people come in through the boom gates or whatever.
Yes.
Is there a reason they could give you that would be good enough that you'd like, all right, fair enough? Or is there literally no reason planet Earth?
I have thought about this from every possible angle. And as you said, if it was the one in Civic where people could just leave their car there for days, I probably would go, okay, I understand. But...
Yep.
No, I don't really see any situation. I don't see any situation where I'd be like, fair enough. Because we have the check-in app, so they can keep track of people that way. They've also got sensors on the door when people walk in. They know the count of how many people are going into the store.
Look, I'm not even trying to defend them. I'm just trying to figure out if there's... I just need to know. Wait, that does kind of sound like you've gone crazy. There's no rectifying.
And I know what they're... They're probably sitting back going, and there's nothing you can do about it, because the second you name us, we are going to sue you.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Josh, there is been a bit of an accident where someone has hit a lady's car.
Bit unfortunate.
Yeah, in a car park as well. So it's like a static... the only car crashes I've been in that involved another car, usually it just involves me and a wall or a pillar or a bollard or whatever. Mm. But the only one I've been involved in, the person was in the car. So there was no I better leave a note. It was just get out and say, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Here's my number. Yes. Here's my insurance number, details or whatever. But this person, it's been one of the ones where it's like, oh, okay, I need to leave a note. Now, what the person's done is leave a note that says, sorry for the damage on your car. I can't afford to fix it, but here's some chocolate instead. And has left two Hershey's chocolate bars, one milk chocolate And I think the other one is like Oreo or like white chocolate.
Nice.
But
yeah.
Two full bars left on under the windscreen.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. With the note. I've had a look at the side of the, you know, this will only apply to you and people who know me, I don't know, quite well personally, but you're like, you know the damage that was done to my car from my car crash?
Yes.
It's about five times worse than
that. Okay, so they've decimated the side of the car.
They have essentially completely ruined a car door, like this scratch, it's indented the whole way, a whole side of, like their whole side of their car's pushed in, and then it almost looks like this scratch is in, that it have gone into the door. It seems like someone's fully hit it with a bull bar in a Jeep or something, and then it's just gone.
I've had to go down and see the guys at Kelly Bodyworks enough times to know that is a expensive process to get that fixed, because that is panels, that is door replacements. That's all. I essentially, Neuron could be a panel beater, just by the
consultant.
Only the quote giver at this point, because I've crashed my car that many times. Two chocolate bars is not going to cover that.
What I'm looking at is easily $10,000 worth of.
Yeah,
damage,
I would imagine. Yeah.
Here's my question to you, though, because obviously, the chocolate bars aren't even going to, and part of the pun, scratch the surface of what this person's bill is.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
But I want to know, because I don't like chocolate at all. So not only would this be annoying, but it'd also be salt in the wound, because I'm like, I don't even like what you've left me. This is so annoying. But you love chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
You have got an affinity towards Hershey's, or what's your brand of choice?
What's the question you have before I answer that part of the question?
Would there be any part of you, inside of you, that would be like, obviously $10,000 of damage, not good, ruined your entire, hopefully you've got insurance or whatever. Mm. Is there even a slither of you that's like,
got some chocolate, yeah. Not for Hershey's, no way.
Burrow down. What would it be? So that means there is a chocolate that you could see.
Very specifically. And this wouldn't make me any less angry. It would just give me something to do while I was calling someone to come and look at my car. I'd probably get around a caramel twirl. I really, really am enjoying the very, very seemingly never-ending cavalcade of ways Cadbury are finding to use caramel in all these different things.
I saw they're having ice creams about it. That's a pretty chunky
twirl.
Boy.
Yeah, they got the caramel twirl.
That's 39 grams of chocolate, baby.
I'd say not even the family block of Caramello. I'd say it's those new big ones that they've got that are like an A4 sheet of paper. I'd need at least one of them to be even remotely going, that was a nice gesture. The rest,
you
I'm
need
just
an advent calendar for every month of the year. That's it.
One thing I will say for this person that's left the chocolate bars, though, at least they weren't fun size, because that really is
they are huge.
I'm not having fun.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
I've seen a little bit of a story here that, look, there are people online calling this guy a legend, and I'd imagine it's probably other blokes that would do the same thing at the wedding, but there is a groom who has been caught basically positioning his phone in a way so that it's not directly in front of him, but it's balanced enough that from the top table at the wedding, where, you know, the bridal party sits, he can keep an eye on the footy. The footy is being streamed on his phone.
Right.
I don't know if it's a KO type situation or just a Fox Sports or whatever, but it is the NRL. He's watching the Panthers take on the Sharks, and his wife's basically taken like a little bit of a pan to one side and then a pan back to his face, and he shrugs and goes, "The footy's on. Like, what do you want me to do?"
Yeah. This would be funny, cute, and endearing if it was anyone but the groom,
If this was if this was a groomsman, maybe this would be a little bit funny.
If this was a groomsman, a guest, anyone whose day this wasn't, this is like a... I was in a wedding last year, this was very much talked about by the groom as a joke, because the UFC was on. And honestly, I would understand the UFC more than I would understand rugby, because rugby, you're going to see your team, you can see the Raiders every single weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The UFC is on like once every 4 months. Like if you have a favorite fighter, you only get to see them do something once every 4 months. The footy's going to be on regardless of what happens.
Oh, 100%. And this is the problem with that. I guess the problem here is some of the people are defending, going, well, why would you even schedule the wedding for when the footy's on? If you're that obsessed with it, don't even.
But at the same
time, if you want to have basically a good chunk of the year, the footy's on every weekend. So, I mean, you've got to pick one of the weekends. But
That's true.
I don't know whether he follows either, because I don't see any redeeming way where this is okay. And then I got even madder on a really stupid point, and that is that this isn't not, it's not an important game in any way, shape, or form. Like if this
yeah,
is,
it's like a middle of the, if this is
recent,
of the
if this is recent, like if this is recent, this video that's come out, it's either of one of two games this year so far.
Yeah.
It was either the 7th of May when the Panthers took on the Sharks. The Panthers beat them 48-0. So I mean,
so not a nail biter.
If you're a Sharks fan, what are you watching that game for? Yeah. However, yeah. If it was the 11th of June, it was 19-18, and that's a great game. You really, yeah. Unfortunately, do probably have to give him props there.
I take back everything I've said.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, elephants usually are the coolest, most chill animals on the planet. I certainly seem.
Yes.
Like, wasn't like the biggest thing that elephants have really been in the news for was like causing massive disruptions to a town because
they got
kind of disorientated on their track. But they weren't even aggressive. They were just kind of walking, just plodding along.
It's hilarious because it's actually multiple towns. They've just been walking around China. And then China are like, well, we don't want to hurt the elephants, but we need to keep them going in a general direction so they stay away from people. And the elephants are just like, well, this is great. This walk just goes forever. We really...
This is incredible.
There's no fences anywhere. We're just going from one place to the other.
It was the the least erratic stampede I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. The slowest moving stampede of all time. But there is an elephant who I feel like is going to be undoing a lot of the good work that elephants have done over the hundreds of years that we've put them in pop culture. Because an elephant in Thailand at a national park is walking around... has spotted a sculpture elephant, like a massive lifelike sculpture elephant.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Like a one-to-one scale, and has mistaken it for a love rival.
Oh.
So like another,
like in the wild.
Bull on the scene. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And has flipped it over. He's like getting quite angry at it. I'm guessing quite like protective and being like, get out of here. The girls around here are mine. Leave.
Wait. So this statue of the elephant, is it similar size to him or...
It's exactly the same size. They're completely different colors. The real elephant is like a very light... It looks like he's been rolling in mud.
Yeah, right.
It's like a very light brown. This other elephant is like nearly black. Very dark, dark gray.
Yeah.
So whilst they look very similar in size, they look nothing alike in actual features or character. I don't know what an elephant can tell and what it can't tell, but they look nothing alike. Look, one of them's got huge... The sculpture one's got huge tusks and the other one doesn't. So honestly, the other one's been quite brave taking on this enormous tusked elephant.
I just gave this a bit of a Google so I could see some of the photos myself. Photos myself. This is hilarious because as you said, they're the same size, but one's got like the big Ice Age style tusks. He must be stoked with himself to have toppled him.
This
guy's got what tusks. Now? He's not even fighting back. This is brilliant.
If anything, someone needs to go and sit this brown elephant, the muddy elephant down and just go, hey, mate, just like bring him into line because he's going to be too arrogant. Be like, hey, by the way, that guy, because otherwise he's going to be walking around and be like, I can take on anyone. And the next elephant he does take on will impale him with tusks.
With massive tusks.
That didn't happen before. What the hell?
Just go, mate, look, we got to explain some stuff to you. A, that's not a real elephant. B, there are also no girl elephants in here for you to impress. You're in a pen.
So chill out.
There's not much we can do about it.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Now, Ned, you are still a renter?
I am still a renter. I have just moved into a brand new apartment, so I'm honestly loving how much I'm spending on rent at the moment because I have never been using my apartment more than I currently am.
Yeah, it's essentially your office. It's your tanning salon at the moment. You've been doing a lot of sleeping in the sun.
I have been doing a lot of sleeping in the sun.
Everything going on for you in the one place. Yeah. It's the one-stop shop, which is great news.
It's beautiful. I love it.
But do you love it enough to, if it came on the market, put in a bit of an offer?
It's a very, very good question. I would never live here.
Good investment,
with a family, but a very good investment for someone like me to pass on to someone else. So, look, probably, maybe.
We'd have the prices right.
I have the money.
Well, see, and this is the thing. This is what happens with millennials like you and I. We have these discussions all the time the money, all this sort of stuff. Then, the occasional economist gets on some form of blog and talks about how if we just stopped buying smashed avo on toast, we'd all be able to afford it, mansions and all that sort of stuff. So
essentially blames us and nothing that's happened over the last 50 years.
That's what goes on a lot. And the smashed avocado is why millennials can't get a house. Has become like an urban legend folklore thing after that guy said that one time. It's like become the thing. Great news, Ned. Avocados are the cheapest they've been for about 18 months. There you go.
Is that right?
Avocados are super cheap. I don't buy avocados, so I don't know. So this is why I'm asking you to corroborate this story. Oh, no, Ned's just left the microphone, as we've discussed. This isn't the greatest thing for him to be doing while we were trying to...
I thought I was holding gold right here.
Oh,
in my
he's
very
got some avocados
hands,
but... right there. He's just gone to his fridge. Oh.
I've got... No, not fridge, mate. Let's...
Oh, you don't put the avocados in the fridge? I have no idea what you do with avocados.
Oh, this one's ripe. This one's ripe for an eating today, but I thought I was holding gold with these two things. I've been sitting on these for months.
How long ago did you get them?
2 days ago.
Yeah, right. How much did you pay for them? How much did you pay for them?
$1.30 each.
Now, they're down... Some places, they're down to like a dollar at the moment. So, yeah.
Honestly, I don't mind the 30, maybe that takes, it costs 30 extra cents to get it to my specific location. $1.30 to me seems pretty good.
How much are avocados when they're being ridiculously priced? That because you are an avocado aficionado, so how much are they when they're in extreme price?
Look, around the $4 mark, $5 mark.
Holy
they can get
quite hell.
Expensive.
You actually spend that much on a...
My favorite
fruit is a mango, and I would never even buy a mango worth $5. That's ridiculous.
No. I go through avocado droughts. Don't get me wrong. Oh. When it's in its peak, I'm not like a stock trader. I'm not buying it going, you know what? One day this will be worth it. I understand that $5 for this, essentially a rock that you can eat, is not worth it.
Okay, well, then that's great news. You've got your head screwed on correctly when it comes to the avocado stuff. So maybe I'll take away the aficionado title. Maybe you're just an avocado enthusiast, an occasional avocado enthusiast.
Well, I'm not a fanatic.
But the great news is, with this price, from what I understand today, I mean, probably most of them are closed because of the lockdown, but if you could get on the phone, because I'm sure you'll be able to make contact telephonically, just get on the phone to a mortgage broker if you're under the age of 35 and just say one word. Avocado. And they'll go, your loan's approved. Done. No dramas at all.
Forget about it.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
You're just chilling like a villain.
I'm just chilling. I don't have much option, but I am just chilling.
No,
just
I'm happy to have you just chilling, mate. We got to a little bit of the FaceTime going. I see you smiling face. It's all I need. It's all I needed this early in the morning to see my friend's smiling face.
Well, hang on. If you saw me smiling, what constitutes as me chilling? Just me not saying anything for 10 minutes
or
10 seconds?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, but it's what we both do during the songs, pretty much.
Exactly. I just have to sit here.
But look, we've had to just gather ourselves because I've got a bit of a moral question that I need to ask now. It's a little bit of a dilemma, and it involves around... good usual fight starting thing all across the world, and that is a bit of a money question. Are you a scumbag test with a money question. Now, what's happened is there has been a dinner that's been had at a restaurant over in the US, and obviously over in the US, they're big on tipping. They love a bit of tipping over there. It's how they seem to justify not paying people at workplaces decent wages. They go, you know what, you can make it up in tips. Don't worry about it. It's not our responsibility.
We'll pass it on to the next person.
Yeah, don't worry. So they give good service because tips are involved, and that's how it works. We all understand. We've all seen a movie before. There's a lot of people have been to America before, but I can't get around tipping. Like it blows my mind, and I think I would be a little bit of a scumbag when it comes to tipping.
Well, you very much can tip in Australia, but I just don't think you're going to the restaurants that require tipping.
Yeah,
no one at McDonald's is going, sir, I just served you.
Yeah, no.
Where's my $5?
Well, you'll get that for the hour's work. Perk up.
I've worked in one of these places. I know how this works. This is not it.
I just want to clear up in case anyone from McDonald's is listening. I understand you pay more than $5 an hour. I used to work for you. Anyway, the point here is, Ned, I have seen this restaurant in the US. There has been one of those classic stories that comes out that is an absolutely amazing, amazing feat of tipping generosity. $10,000 tip has been left by a guy at a restaurant in the US.
Yeah, wow. That's pretty impressive. So there's some people that do essentially just walk around with like open checkbooks ready to give thousands. I can't remember. I was going to look it up, but I can't remember. But Shaquille O'Neal once said to like a waiter, like, how much money do you think I should tip you? And he was like $200,000. And he was like, all right. gave it to him.
That's amazing.
A fifth of $1 million on the spot.
That's what you'd want. That's absolutely amazing. Now, but apparently what happened is this guy with the $10,000 has gathered all of the staff members in and has basically gone, you know what we need to do? We need to work out. We just want to say thank you to everyone who served us tonight. How many staff are on tonight? And they've gone 10. And he's gone, all right, well, then that's $1,000 each, has gone back to the receipt and written the $10,000 tip. Now, here's where the scumbag question comes into it. At the top of the receipt, it said your server tonight was Jess, and at the bottom it says $10,000 tip. Now, if you're Jess, You try and argue on a technicality of, I'm technically the one that served him. That tip is all mine. That whole 10, the receipt says my name at the top, tip at the bottom. That's essentially a contract. That $10,000 tip is entirely mine.
If I was representing the opposition to Jess, I would say, if I was in a courtroom, I would say that the fact that the man asked how many people were working there and then put down $10,000 as the tip leads me to believe that he gave everyone $1,000 each.
And I
didn't just go, how can I piss off every single person you work with so that you could feasibly split this equally between all of you, but have decided not to do that?
How much money would be enough money on that tip for you to start trying to pull technicalities?
Like how little? Because it would have to be less money for me.
Oh,
if it was like, because $10,000, it just cuts too evenly.
I see what you're saying. You'd be happy to get
$1,000. If the guy was like, all right, gather around everyone, we're getting a big tip. $100, $10 each. I'm taking all of that money.
There's no way anyone else is entirely mine. Yeah.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Now, Ned, we enjoy something on this show that is a bit of fun. It's we call it selling crap. Now, basically what it is we try and work out how good we would be at selling things that are objectively less than appealing.
Yes, exactly right. So we will give each other fictional listings of any property or any kind of item. So far, it's mostly been properties.
Well, because I'm ready to go.
That's the easiest ones to spin.
I'm ready to go with some more crappy real estate news, as I've just found that somebody is trying to literally rent out a toilet in an apartment as office space. They've whacked a desk in there, and admittedly, a very nice lamp, but it's still a bathroom. Like, it is clearly a bathroom, and they're
saying, I don't care how nice the lamp is. It's a toilet.
It's saying it's an inner city office space offering is what they're saying.
No,
so obviously an apartment has like a second bathroom the person never uses and has gone, that'll do.
It doesn't do though. Like, I don't understand that. I honestly hope that everyone, where did you say this was, in New York?
Yeah, no, I'm not actually even sure what city this is in, but they've still got some cheek.
I hope whoever, the residents of that city have enough respect and wherewithal to be like, you know what? I don't need office space that badly.
I want to do something right now, Ned, because this is it. I think sometimes you see some of the things here in the nation's capital, some of the real estate listings you see, just genius, if you ask me, about how they managed to get you on board with, like,
100%.
Some of the downsides of a property, a very small common living area or something like this, they give you really good term, cozy, things like that. And I want to see, and in another edition of Selling Crap, whether you could give me a listing right now, and I want to see if I could make it appealing to you.
Here's your listing, all right?
Okay,
I'm going to start you off pretty well.
Pretty well,
right? Two bedroom, one bathroom. That's pretty good.
Two bedroom, one bathroom. Is there any catch?
It does. There's three of them actually.
Okay,
the only way in and out is a metal fire escape. So the metal ladder you have to climb up. Very hard to get any groceries in and out of the apartment. You live above a 24/7 rave.
A rave just constantly going on. Yep.
Always going.
Trance music.
It doesn't matter if it's 3 a.m. or 3 p.m.
Fantastic.
It's just trance music.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you know, I said there's one bathroom.
Yep.
You will need that bathroom because there's no kitchen. So
all of your
cooking and cleaning will need to be done in the bathroom, I'm sure.
You have unfortunately handed me a gold mine here. Here we go.
A turd royale.
Oh, you think this is good? No, this is easy for me. I know how to do this.
Okay.
Hey, welcome to my real estate website, and I've got a great property for you today. And for you, I mean specifically you. And if you're the you I'm looking for, because it's a two-bedroom, two-bathroom, absolute gym fanatics paradise. What you have to do if you're training for the next season of Ninja Warrior is access the property only by a ladder each and every single time you go up there. If you want to do a bit of home workouts now that we're in lockdown, your gym music is provided by a rave that is going on 24 hours a day right underneath where you live. And unfortunately, a little caveat of no kitchen. Don't worry about that, because you'll be having microwavable gym meals for every meal anyway. This is a gym junkie's paradise, and all for the very low price, of course, in Phillip, of $7,000 a week rent.
Perfect. Lock me in. That's already been taken? Yeah, never mind.
It's gone.
That was the Ned and Josh. Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone in your family has been injured at work, visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.